Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is anything worth my love? Is it worth the fight? You only get one chance. Nothing ties my hair. You would out bump. Listen to me. Nothing now falls out of my brain. Heaven helps the man who fights his
way. Now, friends, let's just keep it simple. Mo guns. Means more guns. More guns does not mean more safety. And I have yet to figure out how bringing more guns to a gunfight saves lives.
Well, that's why when a police officer responds to the scene of a crime, what they do is they get on the radio and they tell all the other police officers to stay away. Stay away. Keep those ridiculously dangerous guns away from the scene because Mo Guns is Mo Guns. Back up. Come on. You're not doing it. That's Daryl Roussan. Keith Perry had a response also.
So a rock killed Abel and a rock killed Goliath, as my colleague said. It's not about Mo rocks or less rocks, but it is about changing times. As a kid growing up, Twilliger Elementary School in Gainesville was two doors down from me, our field. During the fall festival, we would carry our shotguns across the school field at the fall festival for the turkey shoot.
Oh, happy times. No, because, you know, back in the day, I hear stories about people like, my grandfather always had a shotgun in the corner of the house and, you know, in the corner of the living room, and you just knew you weren't supposed to touch it. Well, you know, different times.
Let's say, but we all did, didn't we?
Yeah. but when Grandpa wasn't around, what did you do?
Touch the gun.
That's right. Come on, you know, this romantic notion about all of that. So, you know, this conversation, by the way, I wanted to play some of those clips for you because it is, I listen a lot to county commission meetings, city council meetings, especially Milton, you know. But, you know, the policy debates that go on in Tallahassee are usually actually a lot more interesting than the ones even that go on in D.C. And you get good perspective and arguments from both sides, or I should say you get perspective and argument from both sides, and you really learn about these topics. I told you before, I think one of the – that's why I listen to the Supreme Court. Sometimes they're so obscure in the stuff they talk about that I don't bother anymore. But it's the best argumentation. And so you hear the ideas that really are the lifeblood of a democracy, and that's why I love listening to these people make their arguments because – and I want you to hear them make their arguments, too, because it challenges you to think, you know, how would I respond to that or whatever. Jonathan Martin is not the sponsor of the SB 150 bill, the concealed carry without a permit bill. But he made a point that it was one of those, like, I hadn't been thinking along these lines. But as soon as he made the point, I'm like, that's true. That's accurate. And that's a very difficult one for Democrats to respond to because of what they believe in other areas.
The one thing that I like about this bill is everybody, no matter who has a gun in the state of Florida, is treated like an equal, treated like a citizen. What I've seen, though, is there's a whole class of people that are denied that benefit of the doubt. There's a whole class of people up until today, up until the governor signs this law after it passes, who have been denied that benefit of the doubt. Who is that class of people? It's a class of people that we hear discussed on a regular basis about people who can't afford a driver's license, people who can't afford an ID card. This comes up a lot of time when we talk about access to the polls.
Yeah, when you talk about voter ID and you hear poor people can't afford the extravagance of having a state-issued ID. Well, you know, getting a concealed carry permit is an expensive, much more expensive than getting a driver's license, right? And so his point is, if you want to be non-discriminatory, if it matters there, then we should apply the same reasoning here. Let's lower the barriers to entry for citizens whom we trust with their God-given rights in order to protect themselves.
The rich, upper, middle class, the safe neighborhoods are not filled with people that can't afford a concealed weapons permit. And their neighborhoods are safe. Their banks are safe. Their jobs are safe. When there's a shooting in one of those places, it makes international news because it's a shock, it's a surprise. But there's a whole society in every one of our districts that doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
And that's the point he's making, is about treating people equally. We'll get back to this in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Another accident. It looks like an accident. I'm not sure what it is, but it's a standstill. I-10, this is mile marker 8, it looks like, is where the accident is. This is eastbound, and it's backed up to almost exit 5, the Navy Federal 9-mile exit. Again, I-10 eastbound, it looks like mile marker 8, maybe, is where it is, and it is a standstill. Again, all the way back to 9-mile blocking. It looks like Pine Forest and everything getting onto that interstate. Highway 98 Heritage Parkway is backed up eastbound. That's in Navarre, and it's backed up from that accident site, it looks like, again, eastbound to Navarre Beach Causeway. So caution there. Pack your patience, and certainly if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What percentage of the time does I-10 get screwed up in that area?
A lot, man. I mean, I would say at least 20%, maybe.
It feels like almost, and I know maybe this is not a reasonable position to take, but you know how if you live near railroad tracks, what mm-hmm. do you do? And if there's a train all the time on your
right,
tracks,
you learn to go
a different way out of habit sure. because it's too much of an inconvenience, right?
I know. It rots if you have to avoid the Pine Forest. You
right.
know what I mean? There's ways to get around, but still, I don't know.
I know that if you drive in from the west side, you know, it's annoying to plan ahead and take, you know, 9-mile instead all the time.
Well, maybe it's somebody that's driving in from Alabama and they're like, the free state of Florida.
Yeah, traffic congestion. I don't know. I mean, it's probably not Nothing. Enough of the time to make that the reasonable all the time answer.
I'm sure that's not the answer.
But it happens so much. It's like,
it does.
My God,
it's always,
so horrible for folks,
right there, and it blocks
right in that area.
Yeah.
716 here on News Radio 92.3. Back to the conversation about permitless carry in the Senate. Jonathan Martin again.
Guys, we're talking about a constitutional right here. We're not talking about a privilege. But a constitutional right is a constitutional right. And I'll leave you with this. I can't imagine any of us agreeing that we should have to go and get government permission and take a government-approved class in order to send a letter to the editor on a topic that we agreed with or disagreed with. I can't imagine that on a First Amendment right. I can't imagine having to go get a permit and take a class in order to tell a police officer who's coming to search my house, go get a warrant.
Or to open a church.
I can't imagine that. And if that was the case here, we'd all be up in arms, figuratively.
And that's the point. That's kind of the idea about it being a right. Meanwhile, Bobby Powell, a Democrat legislator, it's not really fair for me to play this because it's such a bad argument. But I just want you to hear some of the things that people say. And then maybe sometimes the conversation around them is worth having.
When we talk about the Second Amendment and the God-given right, I have looked all through the Bible. I promise I have. As me and my wife, we attend Grace Temple, CME, and I've looked, there's no scripture that talks about guns in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten gun is not in there.
You know what? Bless his heart. No, like, of course, right? I mean, they didn't exist. But do you believe that the First Amendment, right? Do you believe there's a God-given right to free speech? Do you believe that affects the internet? Do you believe that affects newspapers? And, you know, just, there's no guns. There's swords, though. And there's a fair amount of talk about swords. And there's a fair amount of talk about justice. And also, by the way, though Bobby Powell, I think he's wrong, there is a long history of discussion about the justified use of force by Christians and the idea of whether you should or should not be in the military. There's a long debate about this among Christians and what's theologically acceptable and about, you know, self-defense and about turn the other cheek. And, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, okay. And there are, let me tell you, there are biblical passages for both sides. And I know my friends in the military who are Christians, and we have chaplains in the military who counsel them about these things. And, you know, obviously police officers, law enforcement officers who use violence. Sometimes they use violence that is deadly force, right? And even, of course, ordinary people who believe in the Bible, believe in Christ, and also believe in the right to self-defense and the usefulness of force at times. So this is a very unnuanced, unthoughtful commentary for Bobby to offer. But I don't want to say there's nothing to it, because sometimes I think we, you know, Christians who are conservatives sometimes ignore the inconvenient passages. You know, we don't want to talk about things that are in there that we don't like. And that's a problem, too. You need to look, you know, read the whole scripture. Okay. There, it's, again, it's a complicated conversation. It is not quite nearly as simple as this, nor is it quite as simple as always, and that's the only thing that you should ever do. Okay? Clearly, there are many examples in the Bible of people who would have been justified in using force to retaliate but did not. I think probably the greatest example of that would have been, you know, Jesus. He could have called down the angels, could have wiped out the Romans, right? He could have delivered himself off the cross, but he sacrificed himself instead, right? So there are clearly examples where it is appropriate not to respond with force. And there are clearly examples in the Bible where the just use force, both, okay? So it's a more complicated conversation than, well, there's no guns in my Bible. Oh, goodness. Come on. Be a little bit more thoughtful if you're going to
bring... What does it say about the IMAC?
Exactly. Bring a little... If you're going to bring religion into the conversation, just be a little more thoughtful about it. That's all I'm asking. Don't make us all look bad because you're giving such silly analysis of the Bible. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
You're listening to Strength for Life.
If you don't have a church home, I'm inviting you to join us at North Stone Baptist for our Easter Sunday services. Join us Sunday morning, April 9th at 10:30 a.m. as we consider what the Bible proclaims about Jesus conquering death. Also, I invite you to join us for our evening service at 6 p.m., in which our church will provide an Easter cantata. Our choir will sing, and performers will present the message of Easter. It will be a great day for the whole family, full of honoring Christ. Jesus' resurrection is literally a life and death issue. Christ has conquered death through his resurrection, and he is worthy of our worship. North Stone Baptist Church is located on the northwest side of Pensacola. Our address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road. Again, join us Easter Sunday, April 9th, at our 10:30 service and for our 6 p.m. Easter cantata as we together worship our risen Savior. We hope to see you there.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing, coming up this month, the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Cooking Class, Easter, and other fun things and promotions that you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Afternoons at 1. After Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yes? No? I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Good morning, 724, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, foggy. I'm told that at the beach, you can't see the pier from the parking lot. like the fog is that thick. So, wow.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Maybe that's what happened to the beach ball the other day. Just kidding, that April Fool's Day prank. 724 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Two workers have died after being trapped in a trench at New York's JFK Airport. Emergency workers tried to rescue the workers, but they were both pronounced dead when they were pulled out. The names of the four astronauts that'll be on the Artemis II mission have been announced by NASA. They're Christina Koch, Jeremy Hansen, Victor Glover will be the pilot, Reed Wiseman will be the commander. And scientists have successfully now used robots to capture footage of fish deeper than they ever have before. The effort was a joint effort between the Australians and the Japanese. They say they've recorded video of a snail fish more than 27,000 feet. That's more than 5 miles below the surface of the Pacific.
Well, that's what they say.
I guess there's no real evidence, is there?
What if it was 3.5 miles? Would you know that? No, just kidding. No, that's a really, it's really, I saw,
and I've
seen the picture of the
fish.
It's
a long way to drop your GoPro.
What does a fish look like?
It's weird looking.
It's called a snailfish?
It's just an odd looking fish. Look, I'll probably Google like deep sea fish and it'll be the first thing that pops up these days. It's a weird looking fish for sure. All right. While you're typing that, Candy, let's go to you with traffic on the fives.
How am I supposed to? Oh, God.
See it?
Oh, my.
That's weird, right?
Yeah. Like you think of a blobfish, but like even more unsettling. Man, it's got the, and Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, that's fair.
Me gonna swim little or whatever. As we take a look at our roads, watching an accident, and we'd mentioned this a little earlier, I-10 eastbound, the same area that's always kind of messed up near, I would say, mile marker 8, maybe, an accident. It looks like eastbound backed up past the Pine Forest exit almost to the Navy Federal exit 5, the 9-mile exit there. And then another accident, this is in Navarre, Highway 98 at Heritage Parkway. That's also backed up eastbound in Navarre to Navarre Beach Causeway. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That's a creepy fish.
It is a creepy fish. By the way, somebody texted me in and said maybe what we should say about like self-defense and the right to carry a gun is that it's not a God-given right. So interesting phraseology there, right? Because where that expression comes from is the Declaration of Independence, right? That, you know, we believe these inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which was originally property. And then it got changed to pursuit of happiness when Jefferson was going through the draft process. And life, liberty, and property, of course, is what's enshrined in the Constitution. And so that's more the legally robust portion, not pursuit of happiness. But the idea there is, okay, and it's a matter of inference, right? If there is a right to property, then that right means the ability to protect that, right? Because otherwise, what does the right mean? If there's a right to life and liberty, then it would mean the corollary right to be able to protect those things, to defend them against kidnapping, to defend them against murder, to defend against theft, right? That's kind of the concept. And so the extension of that is that you can use force to protect those things. And a gun is simply a mechanism of using force. And, you know, in the past, you would have had like the slingshot or, you know, or the crossbow or the sword or, you know, the leg to kick or to punch. So that's what it is. And yes, is there a God-given, like, you know, does Ephesians tell? No, it doesn't really work that way. But if you understand where the source of these ideas comes from and how they've gotten used in, you know, American jurisprudential history, that's where that phrase comes from. You know, I'll just say personally, I would probably not say the phrase, you know, your God-given right to own a gun, because that strikes me as a little bit odd. But do you have the God-given right to defend your property, your liberty, and your life? And the answer there is yes. Would that include in an environment like ours where guns are available and where a gun serves as a kind of a force equalizer, a disparity of force, you know, remedy? Then yes, that's how I would say it. But I probably wouldn't use that just personally, because it is a little bit of a path to get to the from the one to the other. 728 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is one of those like weird announcements, news notes that came out the other day, and the announcement was that the association between daily alcohol take and risk of all-cause mortality. Remember, we've had lots of studies over the years that say things like, you know, if you drink a glass of wine a day, it reduces this risk. And maybe if you have one alcoholic beverage a day, it reduces that risk. And then other studies come out and say, no, it doesn't really do that or it does this. They did a meta-analysis looking at 100 different cohort studies, 5 million participants, to try to validate whether moderate alcohol consumption does in fact benefit you against death or not. And basically what they say is the evidence is no evidence. There's no evidence that it benefits you. There's also no evidence that it hurts you, which to me is the big takeaway. If there's no clear evidence that a drink or two at most per day harms you, that's really good news because a drink or two a day, most people kind of enjoy that, right? And it does hurt you if you drink more. It does hurt you if you drink more and you're female. Those are both true. But the connection between reduction of alcohol from one or two a day to zero, they say is cannot be established. And the evidence has been biased in the past because they don't differentiate between people who never have drunk and people who had drunk and then stopped drinking, which is a very different issue because a lot of times people stop drinking because of their health issues. And so that changes and biases the sample type of the non-drinkers. And so basically their takeaway is drinking a little doesn't hurt you, doesn't help you. That's it.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. Former President Donald Trump will surrender in Manhattan later today to answer criminal charges stemming from alleged hush money payments in 2016. A mugshot reportedly won't be taken. Trump has denied the charges. The judge in the case turns down a motion to let cameras in the courtroom. The NYPD prepared for possible disturbances before, during, and after the legal action.
There has been no specific credible threats to our city at this time.
That's New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Trump will return to Florida after the arraignment. Finland will officially join NATO.
This is truly a historic day, because very shortly, as the Secretary General said, we will be welcoming Finland into the alliance to its seat at the table.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Finland will be the 31st member. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 74, cloudy in Pensacola. There's lots of improvements being made in Century. The town has received grant funding for renovations to the Carver Community Center and their agricultural center as well.
Working on those right now. I think we're still waiting to hear back from the architects and the designs, and then it will be going to a public workshop that we'll be having with the community. We don't have that date yet because we haven't gotten the designs back from the architect.
That's Century Mayor Ben Boudwell. He talked with Channel 3 and says grant funding's also been received to renovate sewer lift stations there. They're about to start on phase one of that project. The community has also applied for millions of dollars in grant funding to renovate the old Century High School gym and fix two bridges. The third in a series of roundtable discussions aimed at eliminating gun violence here in Escambia County will be held tonight at the Brownsville Community Center. Now, during their last roundtable discussion, local leaders agreed to test an all-in initiative in Brownsville.
Chose an area in Brownsville that is both the city and city limits and Escambia County.
Sheriff Chip Simmons telling Channel 3 that most Brownsville residents want that neighborhood to be better and safer, and the sheriff's office and the county have now been providing more resources, including extra patrols, code enforcement, increased social services in that neighborhood. Tonight's meeting being held at the Brownsville Community Center at 5:30. They're inviting all area residents to that meeting to tell them how it's been working so far. A Pensacola man is now charged in the weekend stabbing. 43-year-old Patrick Henderson was arrested yesterday and charged with attempted homicide. The sheriff's office says Henderson stabbed a woman at a home on North W Street after they got into an argument. That woman was able to leave the home and call for help from a nearby gas station. Deputies say Henderson had fled the scene. They located him Monday morning at Biggs Lane in Palafox. He's being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. Escambia County's District 5 Commissioner Stephen Berry hosting a town hall meeting this coming Monday in Cantonment. It'll be held at 5 o'clock at the Langley Bell 4-H Center. It's an open forum event. Any District 5 residents are welcome to attend and ask questions. Governor DeSantis has signed permitless carry into law. That means Floridians will be able to carry a concealed weapon without having to go through the state's permitting process, providing they were eligible to get a concealed carry permit. Now, this new law won't take effect until July 1st. Supporters say Floridians have a right to carry a gun and to protect themselves. Judge Clyde Roger Vinson has passed away over the weekend after a battle with cancer. Vincent graduated from the Naval Academy back in 1962. He was a Navy pilot, earned his wings right here in Pensacola. And after his Navy service, Vincent went into law, was appointed as a judge In 1983, he served as the chief judge for the Northern District of Florida from 1997 until 2004. And Vinson was the judge that presided over a lot of high-profile cases, including a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives with Candy.
Okay, launching a, I don't know if it's an accident. I saw a little bit of it on Channel 5 this morning. I think there's just somebody over to the side, but it's going very, very slow, like 25 miles per hour. I-10 eastbound, and it looks like the first stop is at about mile marker 8, but it is backed up past mile marker 7 and mile marker almost to mile marker 5. That is to say, it's blocking almost the Pine Forest exit and almost back to the 9 mile exit. The other accident, Navarre, still showing that it's backed up as well. That is also eastbound, Highway 98 eastbound. The accident is Heritage Parkway, and it's backed up almost to the Navarre Beach Causeway. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It is going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70. Warm, humid weather continues as you go into Wednesday, high near 81. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Small chance of rain builds in for your Thursday. 20% chance of showers overall. High near 81 degrees. Low Thursday night near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 74 degrees, mostly cloudy in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. People who are overweight are flocking to the drug Ozempic to slim down, looming as an even more powerful weight loss treatment. The drug Mounjaro helped a typical person with obesity who weighed 230 pounds lose up to 50 pounds during a test period of nearly 17 months. No anti-obesity drug has ever safely made such a difference. In the coming months, it's widely expected to get the go-ahead from U.S. health regulators to be prescribed for losing weight and keeping it off. And some patients are already using it unapproved for that purpose. Mounjaro, made by Eli Lilly, is already on the market to treat type 2 diabetes. Lockheed Martin says the Army has awarded a multi-year production contract for joint air-to-ground missiles and Hellfire missiles in a deal that could go up to $4.5 billion, including follow-on awards. The contract is among the first multi-year awards for precision munitions as the Pentagon looks to build stocks in the hopes of deterring China. That's Your Money Now.
Get ready for an unbelievable Easter weekend with Marcus Point Baptist Church. Join with thousands for a Pensacola tradition at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, the community sunrise service. The worship begins at 6:15 a.m. as the sun rises over the Pensacola waterfront. The celebration continues at 6205 North W Street at 10 a.m. with Easter at Marcus Point, filled with powerful music and great events for the whole family. Easter will be unbelievable with Marcus Point.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Eggawahoosa, the biggest egg hunt on the Gulf Coast, is Saturday morning at Community Maritime Park. It's a free event for your kids, walkers through fifth grade. See PensacolaChurch.org for more. Trinity Presbyterian Church on Bayou's Jelly Bean 5K is Saturday morning at the church, benefiting church projects. Register at TrinityPcola.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Said motors on the road. roadway would see me on this motorcycle and naturally slow down to take a longer look. It was so much more funny riding it than hearing it read back to me. And so he thought that's...
So Sheriff Chip Simmons at the PACE Awards, when he was receiving his Community Leader of the Year award, made a comment about how he thought it'd be funny to tell his duty sergeant, I think it was at the time, that he ought to be transferred to the motor pool and ride the motorcycle because, you know, he would look good on a motorcycle. And that letter apparently wound up in the wrong hands and eventually wound up in him having to explain that the second part of the letter was because people would probably slow down to look at him because he looks so good. Now, Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
That was so entertaining.
PACE Award-winning Chip exactly Simmons.
That's exactly right. So was that the problem when you were heading here this morning on I-10, is that people were slowed down to stop to look at you while you were driving through the heavy traffic? Was that
people were slowed down, but it wasn't because of me.
Just want to check and make sure. No. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
I do think that we need to make sure everyone understands. I was a rookie policeman trying to make a joke on my sergeant and put that letter in.
Yep.
And then he was off the next day.
And the letter missed him.
All the way up to the right people, and it was clearly a joke.
It was definitely a joke. Very entertaining. Certainly a fun moment. Yeah. And, you know, nobody wanted to follow you at the PACE Awards. That's because you won the show. All right. On to more serious things. We do have tonight we've got the meeting. Is this the third one for the roundtable?
Third roundtable, yeah.
All right. So tell people what to expect tonight at Brownsville.
Well, as I've been telling people before, the first roundtable was just to get the politicians, you know, to light a fire under us all and say, hey, what can we do to address this issue? And then we had another one where we had a lot of citizen input and a lot of people talking about programs and that sort of thing. And so then we earmarked a specific geographical area. And in this case, it's around the Brownsville area. That's where we've been meeting. It's split between the city and the county. And so we're going to use that area, and tonight we're going to discuss what we can all do. You know, at the sheriff's office, we're going to do some warrant sweeps and some more patrols.
What is that, a warrant sweep? When people don't know,
there are people that we have information that maybe they already have warrants on them that are wanted. And we're going to concentrate on seeing which ones of those are in that immediate area. We're constantly looking for people to arrest, but some of the ones that we can't get right away, you know, may fall to the back burner, and they get on what we call the wheel. You know, so if someone stops them, then obviously they'll go to jail. But that's the law enforcement part of things. You know, we're not going to go in there and just, you know, stop everyone. But what we are going to do is if someone has a warrant, then we're going to go by their house and pick them up. The thought there is to get the people that are committing the crimes out of that area. And then we talk to the Florida Power and Light, talking about lighting. We're talking to the school district about bus stop safety, all that sort of thing. And that's
trash pickup.
Yeah,
I mean,
picking up trash and just making the place look a little better so that hopefully it's the broken window thing. If things are cleaned up, you want to keep it cleaned up. And the hope here is that we will have some sort of a template to go by and to take it from this area to other areas and say, okay, now that we know what we can all do, let's try to take it from to somewhere else.
I know most people know this, but the broken window theory came out of New York, where the idea was if you have a neighborhood with a lot of broken windows, nobody thinks anything about minor crime because that's the kind of neighborhood where you commit these crimes. On the other hand, if you force shop owners basically and, you know, warehouse owners to fix the windows and then to, you know, remedy the graffiti, and then you get the squeegee men off the streets, you know, kind of stuff that was plaguing New York. The idea is you create an environment in which it's not a fit for people to commit petty and or more serious crimes, and they have less of those crimes. And so cleaning up the neighborhood, cleaning up the trash, getting rid of the difficult people, all lighting, all of that stuff contributes to a social environment within which crime is not normal, and that's the goal, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And you know, I know some people love the theory and they think that everyone should do it. And
sure.
Some people think, oh, that's an antiquated type of theory.
Sure.
But there's some truth to the fact. If you have a piece of trash in your hand and you look around and there's no trash on the ground, you'll probably find a receptacle. But if there's trash everywhere, you know, your one added piece of trash is not going to make that much of a difference. There's also a sense of pride in a community that is nicer. And it's you know, this is our community. It's clean. And let's all get together and make sure that our area is not just clean but also safe of crime.
And that really is what you're trying to accomplish is, you know, anything you can do, anything you can do to make an area safer. And the theory is, well, let's do everything, and then maybe we won't know which piece was the key piece, but if we're doing everything, when we get results, great.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, I talk a lot about, you know, the cause of homicides, and I talk about probably two-thirds of those are drug-related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's being ripped off from drugs, someone's stealing drugs, whatever is happening there with the drugs. And the other one-third is domestic. This year we've had more domestic than we typically have. Now, is this geographical area and these roundtables going to stop domestic violence homicides? I don't know. I think the stats will prove that what we're doing to pick up trash may not stop a domestic violence type of homicide. But what we are doing something. We are doing what we as a government, as a sheriff's office, as a police department, what we can do. And then again, like I said, we can take a look at this worked and that worked. Let's try this other things. Now, I have not lost sight of the fact that most of the people that come up and talk, they talk about programs. They talk about something for these young people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of what we're talking about is, okay, religious community, do you have a program? Do you have something that can help in this regard? So we're going to continue to talk about those things, but we do want to have this area, and it's going to be for a defined period of time, about 2 months long. We're going to move one of our movie nights to the Brownsville area.
Oh, okay.
At the end of this thing,
uh-huh.
You know, just to show, hey, this, you know, hopefully a celebration and maybe, you know, talk a little bit more about what can be done from that point on.
And in my mind, it's really, it's not the same as, but it's sort of a parallel concept to like a Big Brother's. Like, we're just going to take a neighborhood, and we're going to do what we can do to serve it and be a benefit to it. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Let's get a traffic on the fives from Candy real quick.
It's still backed up. This is I-10 eastbound at mile marker 8, and it's just somebody on the side of the road. So it's going 25 miles per hour, very, very slow. It almost looks like a parking lot, but pack your patience, I guess. Eastbound backed up almost to exit 5 from about mile marker 8. Highway 98 still backed up eastbound as well in Navarre at Heritage Parkway and backed up to the Navarre Beach Causeway. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We, of course, had a couple of incidents last week. Want to talk a little bit about these. One was an attempted murder, a stabbing, maybe Friday or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, we arrested, well, actually,
or the farther
attempted
back.
Murder happened, we arrested him yesterday morning.
Oh, okay, all right.
On Sunday night. 43-year-old Patrick Henderson was arrested for stabbing a woman multiple times. And while he was stabbing her, according to her, he said that he was going to kill her. And again, he stabbed her multiple times. But our deputies, let me just say again how great a job that they've done. So all Sunday night, they were looking for this guy because he tried to kill this woman.
Ugh.
And they finally was able to capture him early the next morning. There's a photograph of him on our social media Facebook page. So if you want to take a look at what attempted murderer looks like, take a look at that picture and also get a little glimpse of some of the deputies that did that good job I was referring to.
We also had in Bristol Park this robbery at gunpoint. Was this the one where they gave him a ride and then, yeah, okay, go ahead.
They were staying at a motel and someone said, hey, I'll give you a ride downtown. I think it's McGuire's. They weren't
going
to apply for a job. And instead of taking him to McGuire's, they took him to the Bristol Park area. And then 3 to 4 males, according to him, ended up robbing him. And we did end up arresting those. We arrested a guy named Carr and Culver, and both of them are in jail under $150,000 bond. So, again, it's just there's got to be something, you know, that will give you an idea. Hey, we're going the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Let's try to
right.
Stop this thing as it is. I talk to people a lot, and I say, well, don't go peacefully. You know, if you're gonna have, and I don't want to victim blame. I just want to say, you know, someone, one or two males say, hey, I'll take you to McGuire's, and it looks like it's a little shady. It probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of my point there.
You know, one of the things we've been talking a lot about today is the signing of the law yesterday by Governor DeSantis for a permitless concealed carry. And, you know, you and I talk a lot about concealed mm-hmm. carry, about the law, about where you can and can't and the value and all of that. But starting July 1st, you know, permitless, which would mean people don't have to pay to get the ID. It's still only for people who would be eligible to get a permit, are the only ones who are able to. And you still cannot carry it in a whole bunch of places, including schools or, you know, courts or, you know, the meetings of the legislature, et cetera. But from your point of view, this would also mean people don't have to go through any training. They don't have to go through any legal training or, you know, gun competency or anything like that anymore. Not that the standards are high right now, but they wouldn't have to have any of that. Chip, your thoughts on having citizens with, you know, basically no barrier to entry now to concealed carry when they want to?
Well, I mean, I would support a law-abiding citizen's right to keep and bear arms. I,
you know, I would like to have that freedom myself, and I so I would support that. But I also would recommend and highly encourage people to be familiar with the guns or the weapons that they choose to carry, not just the guns themselves, but how they carry them. Having been a law enforcement officer for a number of years, I know it sounds cool to pack the heat and do that sort of thing, but I can tell you that it's you need to make sure that it is secure. You can't just stick it in your waistband. You can't just stick it in your boot and expect for it to stay there. And I think what you said is very important. There are a lot of places that you still can't carry a concealed weapon, including businesses that say no concealed weapon. Now, how they know, I don't know that. But I do, however, support the fact that we should be able to carry if we so choose. It's our constitutional right, and I will support that. We have had probably four justifiable homicides in Escambia County last year, if I remember correctly. And those are because individuals were either carrying concealed or they had a weapon in their home for their own protection. I like the idea of a bad guy not knowing who has a weapon to protect themselves. And to me, that's a bit of a deterrent.
Would it be fair to say, and feel free to disagree with me, because that's why I ask you, you're the expert. In your opinion, are criminals who are going to use armed force to commit a felony, would they rather, does it matter to them, their perception that somebody might be armed or not?
I think it does. I think we talk a lot about different crimes and how to prevent different crimes. And I tell the groups I talk to that put yourself in their mindset for a second. Who would be a vulnerable home to burglarize? One without lights and one with, you know, we talk a little bit about back whenever TVs were very popular. If you put a box for a brand new, you know, big screen TV out in the front yard, someone knows you have that television, you know, in your house. So I would think that a bad guy would think twice about going up against someone that can defend themselves. Now, again, I want to be I want to really encourage that people to understand that, you know, that if you have a gun, someone can also take that gun from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had to be very careful about that. But I know that during our conversation with some of these bad guys, they're not as prone to try to victimize someone that's not defenseless, and that makes me smile.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And I also very much appreciate the encouragement to people to carry safely, because, you know, the difference between sticking it in your belt versus sticking it in a concealed carry holster in your belt, vast difference in both safety to you, safety to other people, and access to the gun under the wrong circumstances where you need to have access to it. So all very good notes. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for braving the traffic this morning and not distracting too many people as you were coming in this morning. I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, y'all take care.
All right. 752 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, you know, we're always talking about Frontier Motors and all the great things that they do. And, you know, my experience with them was so fantastic. And I will tell you, I actually had a story the other day where somebody contacted me and says, "Andrew, you always tell them about Frontier. Well, you know, I've got a car that's got a problem and, you know, I'm trying to get with them." And I'm like, "Oh, well, that's weird, because normally they're very, very good at that." And so I told him, I said, I will call them and find out what's going on. Literally, like, I had not yet called him. Literally later on in the day, he's like, "Oh, no, they got back to me. We're all good. They fixed it." like, and you know, the reason I tell that story is because we all know that when we buy a used car, there's a perception like, well, what if something's wrong with the car, right? Okay, there's that perception. And you know, a lot of times warranty still applies, like from the dealer. So that's, I mean, that's all true. But listen, Frontier just has a different way of doing things where they specifically go out of their way to make sure that you're happy with the car 6 months later, a year later. I know they called me a year after I bought the car to make sure everything was okay, and they fixed a little thing. I mean, a little, and that's the point. They know that, and they want to be a different kind of used car place, the kind of place where you're like, oh my God, this is way better than I was expecting. That's why they've been around for more than 25 years, serving the Pensacola community behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. When you stop by Frontier, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Reunion Band, making their final Bands on the Beach appearance ahead of their retirement on June 1st. Don't miss the Reunion Band playing all your favorite hits one more time at Bands on the Beach.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
Good morning, 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the fives. Candy?
That's right. And still watching, it's a slowdown. It's I-10 eastbound near, I would say, mile marker 8. And as I understand, it's a truck on the side of the road, and officers are there with it, but still going slow, like 25 miles per hour. So not a parking lot like it was a little earlier. 98, on the other hand, in Navarre, also still slow. Now, this accident happened over an hour ago. Highway 98 and Heritage Parkway. It's in Navarre. It's backed up eastbound to Navarre Beach Causeway. About 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's a huge security presence in New York today ahead of the arraignment of former President Donald Trump. Crowds gathering outside of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. And apparently they're handing out a limited number of tickets to people who want to watch.
I've been out here for like 6 hours. I'm hoping to get into the courthouse. You know, a very unique time in history. This has never happened before, so I'm hoping to just be a part of it.
And reportedly, former President Trump has now added to his legal team and hired defense attorney Todd Blanche. He's set to surrender to authorities and be arraigned at 2:15 Eastern today. Today is the 55th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He was shot at 39 in Memphis. And the Biden administration planning to open up federal funding for communities dependent on fossil fuels to transition to clean energy, a plan being unveiled today designed to use tax credits and grant money to build wind farms, solar fields, and fuel cell factories.
Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:58. News Radio 92.3. So last night, as I think I might have predicted, UConn totally blew out San Diego State. San Diego State got within six at one point, and it was almost time to get excited, but it went right back to being a huge lead, and they won by 17. Just total wipe. They've won their last six games in a row by double digits, so not surprising. What was surprising is that when Jill Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, was talking about the women's championship, having watched that LSU versus Iowa, she made a rather startling, request.
So congratulations to both teams. So I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So, you know, we'll have LSU come. But you know what? I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too, because they played such a good game. So, right? So winners and losers, that's sportsmanship. That's good sportsmanship.
What now? What now? So as long as you get first or second, you get to go to the White House. No, no, you don't have, like, come to the White House for your participation trophy. Like, that's not how this works.
They came in second in all the world. It's not a participation
trophy. So why do you hate the third place teams? Why don't you invite them?
Because they weren't right there when she was talking about it.
Well, but they were, you know, didn't they play hard too? Didn't they try real good? And didn't they play well? You know, I think, maybe just invite the whole NCAA. You know all the NCAA. In fact, not just the people who play, but the people who tried out for the team and didn't make it. Because, you know, they tried hard too. Let's invite all of those people to the White House.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A notable area judge has passed away. Also, tonight is the third in a series of gun violence roundtable discussions. We'll have those stories and more right after this update from Fox News here at News Radio 92.3.
Donald Trump gets arrested today. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. He's in New York City to turn himself in, then hear the charges against him. Those will be made public after the arraignment.
Former President Trump will make the trip from Trump Tower downtown to the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse. He's set to go through the booking process, photographed and fingerprinted. Then he'll go before a judge, where the indictment is expected to be unsealed and the charges presented to the court. The judge has ruled that news photographers will be allowed to take photos of him at the start of the hearing, but the mugshot is not expected to be released, as New York City does not typically make those public. The charges center around a hush money payment made in 2016 to an adult film star. The former president has called